Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
There we go. Now you can hear me. From the border of liberty and prosperity and the highway to the north, this is Safety Wars for Thursday, March 27th, 2025. How's everybody doing out there? A lot going on out there. You gotta know where to look. That's the bottom line. Let me make sure I'm on the air with Safety FM. Phone is not cooperating. Hold on. And, we got a lot going on here. I know Jay Allen, as usual, had some very insightful comments yesterday. I wanted to include on the show, and so I asked him if I could discuss them on the show. He said, yeah, absolutely. So don't think I just go around grabbing other people's materials here. That's not my style, you know, because you can get into a heap of big trouble doing that. Just like today I received a phone call where someone wanted maritime training. I said, okay, well, which one do you want? Do you want longshoring? Do you want shipyards or marine terminals? He said, I'm not sure. Then I said to him, okay, you're not sure? Okay, that's fine. What kind of work are you doing? And, well, we're going to be working at a facility, and we're going to be doing construction work. I said, okay, you're doing construction work at a facility. And someone touched my camera here, and it wasn't me. And I said to him, okay, you're going to be doing construction work. That's fine. Why are you getting maritime safety training for construction work? Says, ooh, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, I have to make sure that the training that I'm giving you is appropriate, as we do everything here, right? So you want maritime training. If you want maritime training and you're doing like shipyard work, you know, then we give you shipyard work, longshore, marine terminals, meaning you're going to be putting stuff on a ship and off a ship, right? That's usually marine terminals and some other stuff. Then you're going to get that training. And then, but what you're doing is just basic construction. Why are we doing stuff? Right, so let's do this. And so here we have, right, this. All right, so let's do our first share screen. And I think we got this worked out with share screen here and on the video end here. So let's do that. I was playing around. So here we have 1910.16C4. Marine terminal means wharves, bulkheads, quays, piers, docks, and other berthing locations and adjacent storage or adjacent areas and structures associated with primary movement of cargo and materials from vessel to shore or shore to vessel, including structures that are devoted to receiving, handling, holding, consolidation, and loading of delivery waterborne shipments or passengers, including areas devoted to maintenance of terminal and equipment. Terminal does not include production or manufacturing areas having their own docking facilities and located at a marine terminal, nor does the term include storage facilities directly associated with this. Construction is not mentioned here, right? So as I read this, I might be reading it wrong, but wharves, bulkheads, quays, piers, docks, and other berthing locations and adjacent storage and adjacent areas and structures. That would indicate to me that the structures are already built with this, right? Including areas devoted to the maintenance of a terminal. Okay. So some maintenance areas. Okay. You may have it. The term does not include production or manufacturing areas having their own docking facilities and located at a marine terminal, nor does the term include storage facilities associated with those production or manufacturing areas. So, now we're in more or less a gray area. They're doing specifically construction areas. They're talking about some general industry areas, maintenance areas. They're doing construction work. In my mind, all right, why aren't we doing construction activities? Construction outreach versus this. So, no, I said, well, why don't you go back and see what your contract documents are? And by the way, what's your NAICS code? Let's look that up. Let's find out exactly what kind of work you're going to be doing, because you may be doing construction work. And at that point, you're doing construction work. You need construction safety training, not marine terminals. So with that, that's my understanding of the regulation. If someone else has a different understanding, please let me know. I am willing to take correction or input or criticism. That's fine. So, it's not clear to me, and it wasn't clear to the person on the phone, what exactly they needed with that. So, where are they going to be? Wharves, bulkheads, quays, piers, docks, or other berthing locations? And it changes, what's going on? We'll do whatever. I mean, there was one client now, they're doing some construction work, and they happen to be on a boat. Well, guess what? Why are we doing, marine construction? That's construction versus that. And I might as well just say, what's the definition of construction? Here, let's go with that, right? Construction definition for OSHA. Hold on. And, the things that you come into. Construction definition under OSHA. All right. So construction is, just for review, a work for construction, alteration, and or repair, including painting and decorating with that. So we have here a letter of interpretation. Let me get that up here. All right, and we have, right, it's from November 18, 2003, right? Maintenance or construction. In our August 11th Memorandum for Regional Administrators, blah, 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 1999, there is no regulatory definition for maintenance or specified distinction terms as maintenance, repair, or refurbishment. Right? In proper condition in a routine schedule anticipative action. In OSHA's Directive for General Industry Confined Space Standard, the agency stated that maintenance involves keeping equipment working in its existing state, i.e. preventing its failure or decline. Applying this concept to a range of circumstances encountered in the construction industry. These factors discussed in Tillon and Ellis letters and those directed below must be. This construction work is not limited to new construction, but can include a repair of existing facilities or the replacement of structures and their components. For example, the replacement of one utility pole, the new identical pole would be maintenance. However, if we're replaced on an improved pole, it would be considered construction. All right. And with that, right? Here we have the AI overview, right? With this, and this is how I understand it, construction, alteration, and or repair, including painting or decorating. Now, in reality, what have I heard? Right, and I've heard it on very good authority. They don't want, no, the for the type of work that they're doing, what would apply? What would apply is obviously the general duty clause, right, number one, right, where you have to give a safe workplace, right, free of recognized hazards, number one. Number two, it would be they don't want to go out there and see you doing nothing, OSHA. So what they would apply in all likelihood is some kind of standard depending on the kind of work you're doing. So, for example, and I got into this with shipyard work one time. You're at what point does shipyard go from general industry to shipyard work? Well, it all depends on what you're doing. What they don't want to see is, they don't want to play semantic games. For example, you're citing us under the construction standard for eye protection or the general industry standard under eye protection, but we're actually in a shipyard. Well, they want some kind of standard to be obeyed. And that's often where, hey, you're not citing us under the right standard. But they want to, it depends on what you're doing is what it comes down to before I dig myself a bigger hole here. Now, Jay Allen had yesterday. I'm going to play this. I have his permission here. Because this is what I want to talk about. Let me go to a commercial first, and then we will go from there. All right? And
Safety Wars is streaming now. SafetyFM.com.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Anyways, with that being said, 32 minutes past the top of the hour, so why don't we go ahead and do this and get into our story of the main of the story, because it seems important to do.
Here is our main story on the Rated R Safety Show.
So let's talk about our main story and talk about some of the aspects of things that we normally discuss, but maybe give it a different lens, a different capper-apper, if one may say it in that particular motion. And for transcripting people, I'm sorry about that, kids. I know capper-apper is not a true word. I'm just making shit up as I'm going. But let's talk about this. Sometimes we have to look at things through different lenses. We have to take a look at things that are out of the ordinary, just to kind of make sense of it, and why does it tie into the world that we're in? And I know a lot of people struggle with this, but I reference this because of the following. And I want to make sure that we're very specific as I talk about this because it's important. If you hang out here, you are aware that we talk about human performance. Some people will call it H&OP. Some people will call it H-O-P. Some people will call it safety differently. Some people will call it safety too. And they're all a little bit similar, but different all at the same time. But if we talk about this and we say, hey, let's talk about principles, it's one of those things that we go, huh, what exactly are the principles? And we've talked about them before, but I want to make sure that I reference this for this writing. The five principles of HOP, specifically from the books that have been published by Todd Conklin, Error is Normal, Blame Fixes Nothing, Context Drives Behavior, Learning is Vital, and Leadership's Response Matters. Think about this just for a moment. Error is normal. Blame fixes nothing. Context drives behavior. Learning is vital. And leadership's response matters. So now that we have that down, let's make sure that we can continue on. Now, you might be sitting here going, why are we repeating stuff that we've talked about before? The reason I want to reference this is for the following. As we are talking, understand that when we look at those five principles, why is it that it seems that you could take those principles and apply them into other aspects of your life? Think about it for just a brief moment. If anything, take a look at it and go, okay, how would you apply this into other aspects? Now, here's what happens. A lot of people get hung up thinking that this is related to safety only.
Duh.
And they don't realize that there's so many other things that this could tie into. Because if you look at this and you framed it and you said, okay, in a personal relationship, this could tie in there. In the way that I interact with my kids, this could tie in there. In the way that my organization does work, this could tie in there. And let's not get started about culture and safety culture and tying in these principles, because I think that people get kind of thrown off by some of it. But I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the whole aspect of it. If culture is culture, why does safety culture always have a separate thing? But we'll leave it there. But if you took the five principles and you applied them to your life, how different would things be? Because now it just becomes something that you're doing, something that you've implemented. You've taken principles and applied them to a life cycle. And it's always interesting to me that if you really start taking a deep dive into these and you start taking a look and trying to have an understanding, you will notice that there is a bigger thing that you can do with them. And I look at it and I go, it's interesting on how there's other theories that this could tie into. There's other theories that it looks like this would be perfect fit for. I will tell you that as of recent, I've been doing a lot of research into how these things could tie into so many other things, and maybe that's a discussion for another day. But think about that. The five principles of human and organizational performance and them applying into your life cycle. How would that work?
Oops.
This is what I'm going to say here, right? With that, right? Some prompting. How do you implement the HOPS stuff? Somehow, you need to get into the C-suite. You had to get people in charge. As I said, you know, for one of the projects I just interviewed, people do HOP all the time. Good leaders, high-performing organizations do HOP, right? They do. But the advantage of what we're doing here on the Safety FM network and with a lot of the mentors here, Todd Conklin, Sydney Decker, and those JL, and these are just the tip of the iceberg here, all the other people on the network here. Right? How do you implement this? It goes into a lot of different areas, right? Most of these organizations that are high performing do this stuff already. It's just they don't call it this, and they may call it something else, but they don't really realize that they're doing this. I was at ShopRite the other day getting lunch, right? I wanted some vegetables and some other things, and I'm going up to pay my bill at the deli counter, and there's a guy in there getting screamed at and yelled at by his supervisor. It sounded like a legitimate conversation. And I said to the guy, "Hey, sir, perhaps you want to take this in the back and not do this in front of the guy's coworkers and customers here." "Well, what do you mean?" I said, you're demeaning the guy here in front of everybody." "I'm not demeaning him." "Well, maybe your intention," again, his context drives behavior, "maybe your intention is not to demean the guy, but you're demeaning the guy here, right? In front of everybody." And he says to the worker, "Just take it out back. I'll meet you in back." Then he gave me a little bit. I said, "Look, I did you a favor here." I just walked up, paid my, and walked away. A lot of people said, "Well, Jim, you shouldn't have gotten involved." Yeah, but, you know, if you're going to be a disciple, for lack of a better word, of all these mentors I just mentioned, right? And plus, there's tons and tons and tons more. With this, you got to get involved. How are you going to make the world a better place unless you get involved? I'm reading, going through my one of our Bible studies here at school, at a church, not a school, but a church, and we talk about this, serving your fellow human being, helping your other human being out there. And it's why do we go and talk about this? Now, people think, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, right? And we're not going to go into religion. We're not, you don't do a lot of outreach. You don't do, well, yeah, we do outreach, but in a different way. One-on-one, person-to-person, right? Getting involved in our local community groups, whatever those are, right? But it's serving the other person here. And how do we serve the other person? There's many, many different ways. Some people might be a soup kitchen. They manage. They may bring food. With us, it's ideas, right? What I try to do with ideas, right? Motivation. That's the way I try to serve. So, again, let's go through this, right? Leadership's response matters. Context matters. What if these people that have these, and this isn't a unique situation, I've been involved in multiple situations over the years. What if you are a manager, or if you are a safety professional, or a coworker, and you say, "You know what? We're going to, you know, let's apply this," right? Context matters. Learning. Why did this happen this way? What's the person's context? How about we not blame people? How about we try to fix things? If you're going to be involved in any type of accident investigation or root cause analysis or anything like that, you got to do this. Just like with the five whys. What are the five whys, right? You ask the Socratic method, Socrates, if you're younger than 40. You try to... You say, "Well, why did this happen? Why? But there's a lot of whys that go between those five whys. a lot of information and questions that have to go in there. So it's not like, why? No. Okay. What happened? Well, what are the circumstances behind what this happened? Why did those circumstances occur? And it goes on and on and on and on with questions. If you're going to be over there confronting people and everything else, right, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to get the answers to questions that you need. You're not going to get the feedback that you're going to need. How about in life? We're going through a lot of upheaval right now. Okay? Maybe if we have people down there understanding each other. Now, this may sound, well, Jim's getting way out there. He's not, you know, to the right of Rush Limbaugh anymore. Guess what? Try to understand. That's not what the point is. And with the political situation here, we can apply this. Here, we had Sean Duffy, Secretary of Transportation, a couple weeks ago. We talked about him on the show. How, if there's a near miss and blah, 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 pilots got to get fired. Hold on. Maybe let's find out what went on first before we start firing people. Or how about my favorite line, right, from a movie. If a riot is a very ugly thing, und before we get one started, we had better make bleep sure that our accusations are correct. Right? You can figure out what that is. And later in the movie, it's a riot is an ugly thing, and it's about time we had one. Right? So you can figure out what movie that is. How you treat other people. If you're going to treat them like Guvno, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get Guvno. It's just the way it is, folks. And that's about all I have to say. Let's run through these again real quick here with this, right? Right? Five principles of HOP. And I always have this written down because I'm afraid of screwing it up, right? Blame for error is normal. Okay, someone makes a mistake. Now we apply the SKR, skills, knowledge, rules mode to that thinking. Where was this person? Well, did he know what he was doing on? Was he applying knowledge, right? Or was this a area that was all set up and ready to go? And maybe some kind of conditions changed. There was human error in here. Where are they, right? We talk about that in all of our training problems. Blame fixes nothing. Guess what? That gets, you know, context. Learning is vital. Okay. You think you know how to do that job? The one who knows how to do that job and is the expert in that job is the person doing that job. Let's analyze that. If there was an error or something, okay, let's figure out that. Learn how to do the job. And obviously, leadership's response matter. Now, here's the other thing. Is your organization set up to do something like this? Don't know. Because I tell you what, I've been involved with some organizations, and I say, you know, you're not really, I don't know if you're mature enough to handle this. Well, what do you mean I'm not mature? The one guy, I said, look, I don't think your organization is ready for something like this. Management's got to, and that C-suite has got to, grab onto this. It's got to be willing to take that step. Now, this is another barrier that we have here. It's especially if you're in seasonal or short-term employment situations like construction often is. The old way of doing things, traditional way of safety, yelling and screaming, and we're going to fire people, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, blah, blah, blah. Very effective in the short run. Very effective, especially if you're dealing with desperate people who need jobs. Very easy. 6 months, 7 months, okay, the other traditional way of safety, great. And then you have to say after that, well, now what? Well, what do you mean, Jim? What now? What? Well, do you plan on having embedded workers here? Workers here that are going to be with you for years? You plan on having this organization for years? Well, now let's talk about corporate culture and how do we change the corporate culture so we don't have issues, so we are able to do this. And that's where HOP comes in, and HOP is much more effective. The other way is very tiring. And plus, it's you have to be consistent. There's a lot of other stuff going on with human resources law that applies to that. Well, what do you mean, Jim? Human resource law. Now you got to treat you fire one guy for not wearing safety glasses. You don't fire another guy for wearing safety glasses. But guess what? If it's a union shop, you got a problem. If it's a non-union shop and the people know what their rights are, you got a problem. And it goes on and on and on and on with that. So are you mature? And by the way, the last manager who I just mentioned screaming and yelling, I said, look, I don't think you're ready for this. I don't think your organization has mature individuals working for it that are willing to do this. Well, what do you mean? I'm as ethical as a white-driven snow. Blah, 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 blah. And how dare you say that to me? Well, he was the same guy who said to me, well, I don't give a shit if it's raining men out there. I don't give a shit about fall protection. Get the fuck off the job. If that's what you're going to do, enforce fall protection rules. Really? This is also the same. You hear that, right? That's a leading indicator that there might be an issue here. How about the other thing here? They don't care about their workers. The guy also, his personal life was atrocious, and that's not even me being judgmental, right? He almost went through a divorce because of alcoholism, drug use. Currently, when he was making these statements, and also, just a massive personality disorder. This is often what happens if you're a consultant. Or even if you work for a company, sometimes they put people in charge like this, complete psychopaths. You think HOP is going to work on something like that? Not going to happen. You need to be ready for it as an organization. So you got to meet them where they are and baby steps. And you got to know multiple ways of preventing accidents and injuries. So you could write multiple techniques or what kind of thing they are. And sometimes you're there and it's like, oh, man, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And screw it. That's all I'm going to say on that. So let's go to our next commercial break. Here's Jay Allen. I know this one works.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamer emers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzer, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. And let's put on some music here while I set up the next one.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your heart. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't. Certified, hearts aligned, locked outside.
extinguisher, spark of desire, emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard had it real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced supply. Our love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Danger signs, but we don't lie. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Long down. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged on, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves, safety from the start.
All right, so here we have something that came out this afternoon. I cannot get the official documentation on this, right? So we all know about Doge and, right, what's going there with all the savings and everything else that they keep mentioning. And, you know, I imagine eventually we'll get official documentation on this. But right now, all that we have in place are X or tweets, right? Well, they still call them tweets or is it X's? I don't know. Maybe I'll be giving him ideas. So we have a tweet from Department of Government Efficiency yesterday, right? Great work today by USDOL at the Secretary of Labor, Lori Chavez Deremer, at Deputy Secretary Sonderling, canceling $577 million in America Last grants for $237 million in savings. I don't get that. If you cancel $577 million, how do you get $237 million in savings? I'm confused. Now, we have this, right? And I'm not going to give any judgment on this. I'm just reporting the news here. $10 million for gender equity in Mexican workplaces, $12.2 million for worker empowerment in South Africa, $6.25 million in improving respect for workers' rights in agricultural supply chains in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, $5 million for elevating women's participation in the workplace in West Africa, $4.3 million for assisting foreign migrant workers in Malaysia, $3 million to enhance social security access and worker protections for internal migrant workers in Bangladesh, and $3 million for safe and inclusive work environments in Lesotho. I don't know what that is here. Let's see if there's any other information here with this, right? And with that. So there's a lot of stuff here. Now, this is what I, no, maybe it's not fraud, maybe they're authorized, this and that, I don't know, with this, right? And there's some other things in here where accusations on the threat of money laundering by different things and what have you, and you don't know whether it's true or not, but this is what I do know. If it's anywhere from $237 million to $577 million in grants here for the Department of Labor, what is the, here's a question for you. What is the, let me do a share screen here, the budget of OSHA? Right now, the last 2 years, this page has not been updated here. This is from 2023 data. All right. And right now we're working on continuing resolutions, which means that they maintain the budget from the year before and don't increase it. That's usually what a continuing resolution has means. Right. And there are some things that said that Biden suggested $700 million in 20 fiscal year 2025. That never happened. And the numbers are wanting here. Now, if this is true, from X, that this is $577 million. That means that that's freaking pretty close, or a big substantive piece in the OSHA budget here. So, the Occupational Safety and Health Act meant for American workers. Right? American workers. I feel bad that there are workers throughout the world that might, that do have it worse than what we have it here. I get it. I also get the principle that if you're an American company doing work in foreign countries, that you, there are American laws that you have to, you know, that you have to comply with. And I understand social contract, right, which could be bad. It's sort of like root cause analysis. Root cause analysis, when it's done great, is a great tool. What happens? People use it in a really fouled up way sometimes. I get it. And then they weaponize it with that. I get that. All right. Now, the I get that. That, you know, they weaponize things, everything else along with that. However, you're talking all so we talk about OSHA being the lowest funded, one of the lowest funded understaffed, underpersoned federal agencies. We get it. It's a joke. You talk to people at social, if they've heard about, that's a joke organization. But here we have all this money going elsewhere. Well, we have problems in our country, and we could have spent this on OSHA. Where are our priorities with that? And I don't want to hear the other side. So, well, we have to be worried about the rest. Okay, I get that. We need to be worried. I do. I'm worried. However, where are our priorities? We cannot keep spending money, and especially when we have roughly 5,000 people admitted in this country dying in workplace deaths a year, and according to OSHA's own numbers, another 50,000 dead from workplace diseases that they can't really track, but they know it's somewhere around 50,000. Their numbers, not Jimmy's numbers. So you have 55,000 people there, and we know that this is all underreported, by the way. No, the 5,000 number, right. That number, the total, right. We know that that's underreported. That's a fact. So where are our priorities with this? Same thing with environmental protection. Billions of dollars going down the drain that have been documented. We had on this show a couple years back Lord Monckton, who is one of the leaders of the non-anthropocentric climate change movement. He mentioned all this money going out the window. Now those the people with those beliefs are in charge of it. Okay, well, okay, we have, imagine, $20 billion going towards clean air and clean water. Solid and hazardous. We can probably clean up most of the hazardous waste sites that we've identified in the country with that. But we're pissing it away on everything else. I'm sorry. We can talk a little bit about politics. I'm sorry, it's not just priorities. And when you use the American public as an ATM machine, this is what happens. We're getting taken advantage of. And I can't tell you what people are suffering out there. It's like we're in a lull here with our entire country is in a lull here, or is in a wait and see type of thing. So that's what I got here.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
All right, so what's some of the other news out here? This one's from, and I'm reading from Safety and Health Magazine article by, doesn't say what article. Lawmakers are concerned about staff cuts and field office closures at MSHA. This is from Washington. House Education and Workforce Committee Democrats are asking the Department of Labor for details about Department of Government officially led closures of numerous MSHA offices and field offices. In a March 6th letter to then-Acting Labor Secretary Vince Micone, Representatives Bobby Scott and the committee's ranking member, Ilhan Omar, ranking member of the Workforce Retention Subcommittee, write that ongoing shutdowns, staff reductions, comprise MSHA's ability to do its job of protecting the nation's mine workers from unsafe mine conditions. Right, so they had six questions listed here. Did the GSA consult with MSHA or DOL before identifying the affected leases for termination? Because, you know, they have leases that were running out. Was MSHA informed by GSA about terminations of the leases before receiving communications from landlords? How many job offers to prospective MSHA inspectors have been revoked since January 20th? How will MSHA address President Trump's mandate for maximizing employees' return to office-based work in light of termination of the affected leases? What plan, if any, does MSHA have to ensure it can comply with its legal duties and implemented regulations and staff and lease terminations since January 20th? The letter goes on to say, MSHA must be in position to inspect every active mine, respond swiftly to fatalities and imminent hazards and conducting every mine? Really? Wow. That's like OSHA's going to go out of there and inspect every workplace. Not going to happen. Already, some rural mines may be as much as a day's drive from the nearest field office. MSHA cannot protect miners if all the nation's mines are not within its reach. All right, so that's what's going on there with MSHA. Here's another one from Kentucky Public Radio, right? President, and this is all in relation to the executive order. President Donald Trump signed an executive order to reduce mineral production to the maximum extent possible, right? And they feel, well, we're going to, do this now. I don't often promote other podcasts. However, I listen to the OSHA 3030 podcast, and here's something very interesting that they talked about on this month's episode. There was a Harris Teeter had 27 workplace citation site that they were cited for under North Carolina OSHA, right, vacated because OSHA inspectors had been shredding handwritten notes and other documents from their investigations, right? The January 31st ruling, a matter involving Harris Teeter and defended by, I used to work with a guy with almost the same name, and defended by the workplace safety attorneys at Fisher Phillips provides an avenue for possible relief for your business, regardless of your location. What do you need to know about this pivotal ruling? And I'm reading from Fisher Phillips here. During cross-examination at a recent trial related to four workplace safety inspections at a Harris Teeter grocery chain, a North Carolina OSHA inspector admitted that he destroyed his notes that I had taken during an inspection. All other inspectors who testified in the case admitted to doing so as well, and it was revealed that his practice had been going on for decades. Since then, in at least two other trials, North Carolina OSHA representatives have admitted they shredded or otherwise destroyed notes without typing them verbatim into their online record-keeping system, known as OSHA Express. During the Harris Teeter trial, it was discovered that three pages of field notes inadvertently overlooked for shredding, and as a copy was produced to the court by Harris Teeter. Those overlooked notes included evidence of data collection, including notes from private discussions with employees. Not only did the notes
contained statements from potential witnesses, but they also showed there were discrepancies between the information in the original notes and what the OSHA inspector inputted into OSHA Express. At the conclusion of the trial, the judge dismissed all 27 citation items stemming from the four inspections. Without access to field notes, respondent could not properly prepare for its cross-examination. It was denied due process of law. Thus, because the field notes were shredded and no longer exist, the court is left with no choice but to dismiss all four actions in this consolidated case. Right? What does this mean? The decision comes down to a matter of fundamental fairness. It is unconscionable to allow the prosecution to deprive the respondent of anything which might be material in its defense, the judge said, and created a new line of attack that your business might be able to deploy. I'm reading a press release here.
Safety Wars is streaming now. Safety.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.